7 to 10 years ago, a few years after Mother Teresa of Calcutta had died, it was revealed to the world that for the last 47 years of her life, she suffered this profound spiritual darkness, this dryness of soul. And people were shocked. They thought, how could she have lived the way she lived and yet to have experienced that interiorly? And I sometimes think that's the way that Our Lady and Joseph must have lived after that initial time around the birth of their son, afterwards to have to live by faith and not by sight. You know, they had the appearance of angels coming to them in dreams, the coming of the Magi, the shepherds, and then I think there was a great silence. But what most people don't know about Mother Teresa is how amazing, how totally incredible her calling was. When our Lord came to her and asked her to found a new religious community, he appeared to her crucified. He is hanging on a cross, and he looks at her, he gazes into her eyes, and he says, "I thirst." And she understood at that moment intuitively that when he said, "I thirst," he was talking about his thirst for souls. A few days later, he hears his voice in her heart, and this is what he said to her, "My little one, give me souls. Be my fire of love among the poor, the sick, the dying, and little children. I long for the purity of their love. If only you would answer and bring me these souls." And as soon as the voice ceased, she saw three visions, one after another, immediately. And the first, there's an enormous crowd of people surrounding her, and she's in the center of them, and especially poor people and children. And they're reaching out to her, they're trying to grab onto her, and this is what they repeat over and over. "Come, come, save us, bring us to Jesus." And then the vision vanished, and another one appeared, and this time that same great crowd of people, and she's not in the midst of them, she's standing outside of them, and she's kneeling on the ground, and our Blessed Mother Mary is beside her. And Our Lady looks at the people, and she says to Mother Teresa, "Take care of them. They are mine. Bring them to Jesus. Carry Jesus to them." And the vision vanished, and then one more appears, that same huge mass of people. She's standing outside, but this time not facing them. She is turned and facing our Lord on the cross, hanging there. Our Blessed Mother Mary is behind her with a hand on her shoulder. And Jesus looks at her and says, "I have asked you. They have asked you. And she, my mother, has asked you. Will you refuse to do this for me, to take care of them and bring them to me?" Those last 47 years of her life, she founded 375 homes all throughout the world for one reason: to bring souls to Jesus. My brothers and sisters, what does the visit of the Magi remind us every year? That every single person on the face of the earth was made for Jesus. That every person who has ever lived and will ever live was made for union with Him. That their hearts, whether they know it or not, long for Him, because He's the only one who can satisfy their deepest longings. He's the fulfillment of every religion, the Savior of every person. So this year, this new year, as usual, we have the selection of saints. And if you haven't had a chance to choose one on your way out today, you can do so. And I'll speak more of that later. So I made my choice. I picked a saint a few days ago. And so there's these baskets back there with hundreds of saints written on different sheets of paper. And so I pray a prayer of the Holy Spirit. Say, "Holy Spirit, you know, guide my choice." Then I reach in, I shuffle around, I pick one out. And I guess I had not completely died to the hope of getting a really good one. Padre Pio or St. Augustine. And so I pick it out and I go, "St. Peter Chanel." Who's that, right? I have no idea. I'm thinking, "St. Peter, what? Oh my gosh." I was going to put it back in and get another one. But you have to trust the Holy Spirit. So I did a little research on him. So St. Peter Chanel lived in the mid-19th century. to look just at his life, at the end of it, you would think, he failed. He did nothing spectacular. He becomes a missionary, and he's sent to the South Seas to bring the faith there for the first time. And of the islands, he gets his choice. He goes to the island of Futuna, which had just recently given up the practice of cannibalism. Right? That wouldn't have been my choice. But he chooses the island of Futuna. He goes to this island. He's there for 3 years. Nothing. Maybe a few people had opened themselves to the faith and been baptized. After 3 years, suddenly he encounters the son of the king of the island. And the more and more he hears about the faith, the more interested he becomes, and he requests baptism. The king discovers that his son wants to become a Christian, and he immediately executes St. Peter Chanel. 5 months later, the entire island converts to Catholicism. His martyrdom gave the grace for the conversion of all those people. But what amazed me is, here's this man, the extent to which he would go to proclaim Jesus Christ to people who had not embraced him. That he would go to an island that had practiced cannibalism. It made me think of St. Francis of Assisi, when in his own life, he hears that the caliph of Egypt, the Muslim head of the nation of Egypt, is in the Holy Land. So he journeys by foot to the Holy Land to convert the caliph, because he thinks, if I can get the head, all the other Muslims will convert. And he goes down there and he has an encounter, and they have a peaceful conversation. They're around a bonfire, and the caliph will not accept the faith. So St. Francis says to him, "Our Lord so wants you to know his divinity. I will jump in this fire and he will not allow me to be burned." Now the caliph would not let him get into the fire, but again, the extent to which he would go that they might embrace Jesus Christ. In the United States, as Catholics, we so privatize our religion. It's like we keep it to ourselves. Okay, this is my faith. And I am as guilty as anybody else. A couple of days ago, I was coming back from Los Angeles, and my flight got delayed. I was in the airport for 5 hours. And it's amazing. I'm a priest. I'm dressed as a priest. Everybody can see it. And I'm hesitant to speak to anybody about our Lord. And I think so many of us are that way. And yet everyone longs for him. Everyone needs him more than anything else in the world. Our faith is a missionary faith. Our Lord said, go out to all the nations. And we're called to share in that missionary dimension. At the end of his life, Fulton Sheen wrote a book, an autobiography, and he shared a story. He discovered that a famous man in the States had about a year left to live. So he calls him up on the phone. Right? This is Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He says, "Have you ever considered the Catholic faith?" And the man says, "Honestly, I've thought about it for years, but no one ever invited me." He met with Fulton Sheen for a few weeks, received the sacraments before he died. No one ever invited me. There are people in our lives who will never know Jesus Christ except through us. Through a conversation, a book, a CD, if we are willing to witness to our faith. And I close with this. Shortly after ordination, I met with my spiritual director. And he said, "Jeremy, I recommend that you say a certain prayer all throughout your priesthood, at least from time to time. To go before the Blessed Sacrament and kneel down before our Lord and say to him, 'Jesus, give me souls. Grant me the grace to bring you many souls.'" I ask every one of you, after you receive him today, to make that your prayer. "Jesus, let me bring you souls.